stays where he is. He doesn't make any immediate plans to rush to his close friends. He stays put for 2 days. Please don't misinterpret this as Jesus not caring. Far from it. He knows exactly what he is doing. And after those 2 days are up, he tells his disciples that they all need to return to Judea. And unsurprisingly, they are reluctant. After all, the last time they were in Jerusalem, there were threats of stoning and capture. So Jesus tells them bluntly, Lazarus is dead. How does he know this? He is God. He knows everything. So he says, Lazarus is dead, and that's enough reason to make this journey, irrespective of any personal danger. So Jesus and his disciples journey to Bethany, and when they arrive, Lazarus has indeed died and was buried for 4 days. Jesus hadn't yet arrived at his friend's house, and word was already out that Jesus was back. So Martha goes out to meet him. And in her words of greeting, she shows clearly that she has yet to understand the true nature of who Jesus is. If you'd been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. And then a moment of further confusion between the two close friends. Jesus asserts that Lazarus will rise again. And Martha replies, yes, I know that, Jesus. Lazarus will rise again on the last day. In this, she is referring to the Jewish doctrine of the resurrection, commonly adopted at the time. They are at cross purposes. And then, in order to clarify the confusion between Martha's understanding and who Jesus really is, Jesus utters 31 words that meets his requirements for his friends and disciples to understand who he really is. They are some of the most profound and beautiful words found in the Bible. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's unpack this. Martha's told Jesus that her brother will rise on the last day. Nothing new here, nothing special. Jesus responds to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. So what Jesus is telling Martha is that I am the power of all resurrection and life. Therefore, by whom shall Lazarus rise, if not by my power, as the source of all resurrection and life? And Martha, as I am the power of all resurrection and life, then isn't it as easy for me to raise your brother to life now as it would be on the last day? It is to Martha that Jesus reveals who he really is. More than a mere man, he is the essential principle and author of existence. And in verse 25 and 26, Jesus is making it clear that God has determined to work on behalf of men and women only in proportion to their faith in him. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And to underscore this point, Jesus finishes this earth-shattering revelation by asking Martha a question. Do you believe this? Up until this point, Martha and Mary had regarded Jesus as a prophet. In these 31 words, he makes it crystal clear that he is more than a prophet. He is the Messiah. And Martha's response is just incredible. It isn't just a yes, I believe. She continues, you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Mission accomplished. Jesus' close friend Martha gets it. She is now prepared and able to understand Jesus' last and greatest miracle. So Martha, now in the picture, is asked by Jesus to go and fetch her sister. Mary comes out to where Jesus is, followed by the Jewish mourners who were in their house. And in a Groundhog Day moment, the very words that Mary speaks to Jesus are the same as the ones her sister used just minutes earlier. We also learn that Mary is understandably wrought with emotion and weeping. And she wasn't alone. The mourners were also in tears. A very emotional scene for sure. And Jesus. Well, John tells us that he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble, verse 33. So the translation here in Greek is somewhat challenging. Deeply moved has a whiff of anger in the Greek, but this seems inappropriate in the current context. The most compelling translation that I found is Jesus' deeply resentful in spirit. John also tells us that Jesus was troubled, and the Greek here suggests that the troubled was something that arose within Jesus. So he troubled himself. What could have caused Jesus' resentment and internal strife? Well, we'll never know the reason. However, we do know that at this very moment, Jesus stands apart from Mary and the mourners, a mixture of different emotions running through him. And then, out of nowhere, in verse 35, my favourite Bible verse, Jesus too starts to cry. Jesus wept. And the Greek word for wept here is different. It's a different type of crying to that of Mary and the mourners. Theirs was the formal weeping of Jews in mourning. Jesus, he was shedding tears. What a deeply tender moment. And in that tenderness, we once again see the humanness of God in Jesus Christ. In those tears, we see that Jesus didn't feel it beneath himself to sympathize and empathize with the distressed. He wept with those who wept. Here, we see that God fully understands our human nature. He is with us in our breathing, our waking, our sleeping. He is with us in our resting, our working, our thinking, our speaking. He is with us in our dreaming, our laughing. He is with us in our hurting. He is with us in our healing. And yes, he is with us when we weep. Who was Jesus weeping for? Again, we'll never know for certain, but perhaps he was crying tears of sadness on seeing how many people were grieving for his close friend Lazarus. Or was he crying tears of frustration, knowing that his time was running short, and still his friends and disciples didn't fully understand who he was, nor his message? Or were they tears of a man overwrought with emotion? The scene around him was incredibly emotional, and Jesus knew that he was about to perform the most significant miracle of his life, a miracle that would validate the meaning of his own death. Or could they have been tears of fright? Jesus knew the depth of suffering and humiliation and the brutal death on a cross that he was about to experience. And although he knew the glorious endgame, there was much physical pain and humiliation to endure. We will never know, but what we do know is that he cried human tears. Pause for a moment to let that truth sink in. The Word made flesh shed human tears. And yet, in this divine, tender, vulnerable act of humanness, John makes it clear that many still didn't understand who Jesus really is. Verse 37, some of the professional Jewish mourners saw Jesus crying, and they saw this as a sign of Christ's weakness. If these tears showed just how much Jesus loved Lazarus, then why didn't he do something to save him? After all, this is a prophet who gave sight to the blind. The crowd moves to the tomb. Jesus orders a stone to be taken away. And incredibly, Martha protests. Her objection, the smell will be unbearable. Come on, Martha, just moments ago, she not only professed her belief that Jesus was the resurrection and the life, but she volunteered to Jesus her understanding that he was the Christ, the Son of God. And yet, even with that understanding, minutes later, it's clear that she still doesn't fully understand what is happening. So Jesus pauses and takes time to remind her about the conversation they have just had. Didn't I just tell you you would see God's glory if you believed? Another reminder that time is running out. Jesus really needs them to understand who he is, so that his victory over death on his cross is understood. And then in verse 41, Jesus takes a moment to pray to God his Father. The prayer shows just how close Jesus' relationship is to his dear Father. Dad, I know that you listen to me, but I'm talking to you now for the benefit of those around me, so that they believe that you're the one who sent me. Again, Jesus, in effect, telling the Jews and the mourners that he was the Messiah. And he goes on and goes on. And I also want them to know that it's not through my power that I do these miracles, but yours, Dad. It is from God that Jesus has received his power and authority. And with the prayer concluded, Jesus orders Lazarus out of the tomb. So what have we just experienced in these verses? Well, firstly, we've experienced Jesus' biggest and most important miracle. He raised to life a rotting, decomposing body from death to life. We have witnessed an unmistakable sign that Jesus was the Christ. Secondly, Jesus has spoken clearly to confirm to Martha that he is the Messiah. Thirdly, Jesus has given an assurance or a promise that belief in him as the source of true spiritual life brings us into union with him, such that believers, you, me, living in the ways of Christ, possess a life over which death has no power. Fourthly, Jesus as man-God has felt and experienced the depth of the raw human emotions on display at the death of his close friend Lazarus. Even though he knows he will raise Lazarus, he weeps. God knows us. He deeply knows our humanness. And finally, we've experienced the fulfillment of John 5:24. I am telling you the truth. The time is coming. The time has already come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear it will come to life. So what are the key messages from our reading? Five takeaways for this evening. So despite his earthly ministry, even those closest to Jesus haven't fully understand the enormity and the magnitude of who he actually is. Despite the miracles, the parables, the crowds, the buzz around Jesus, the message hasn't gotten fully through. And I could draw parallels to the challenges of spreading the gospel of good news and salvation in 2018. It isn't easy. There will be misunderstandings, but we must persevere as Jesus did. Secondly, even when people understand who Jesus is and what he stands for, just as Martha did, they can still get confused. Just as Martha did. We can understand, but we can also ask for help in our ongoing faith. Just before undertaking his last and greatest miracle, Jesus took that time to teach, guide, and mentor Martha. This, for me, is a reminder of the important role we have as church in teaching and guiding those in every part of their journeys of faith. Thirdly, time is running out. Jesus knows that his ministry is fast approaching its conclusion and that he needs his friends and disciples to know who he is. He is literally a man on a mission. And perhaps we need to think and pray on this in the context of church in 2018 and the glacier speed of change observed in some churches. Fourthly, if Jesus can raise Lazarus from the dead, he can do that for everyone. One of the most compelling parts of the promise that Jesus gives in these verses is that salvation through faith is open to all. How fantastic is that? And finally, God understands what it is like to be human. Jesus is his human embodiment. God is with us in everything that we are and in everything that we do, in every human emotion, just as Jesus was. Jesus didn't just observe human emotion and nature. He lived them with us. Through his tears, through his anguish, through his anger, we are told he marveled and he rejoiced. We see flashes of humor through his ministry. He loved his friends. He slept. He worked hard. He breathed. He died. But why did God take a human body? For one reason: to save our bodies. God loves us so much that he comes to us. Yes, that almighty, sovereign, all-powerful deity meets you and me where we are. And in the place of meeting, he places that most precious thing, his son, to live with us and die for us, to show us just how much he loves us. So how can these verses challenge us to grow in faith and walk closely with God? Tonight, I ask you to search deep into your souls and ask yourselves honestly, have you fully understood the enormity and magnitude of who Christ is? Is God your everything? And for those unsure about this Christian thing, could God be your everything? What is stopping you from believing and making a commitment? I'm asking for your prayers. Tonight and during the week ahead, in your prayers, could you please ask for God's guidance on how we can recreate some of the urgency that we've read about in these verses for those to understand who Jesus is, to understand the power he has and the promise he gives. And finally, God is with us right now, here, pulsating through human minds and souls. In every human emotion, we see God, and God sees us. He understands us. He loves us, and he wants us to have a living relationship with him. How can we bring God to those who are dead to God? For if we aren't prepared to share Jesus and his promise as Christians to a cynical world, then who will? And finally, let's marvel in those wonderful words in verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Let's try that again. And if you feel you can, please respond with the words Mary used when Jesus asked her the question. Yes, I believe. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? I think we can have one more go at that. Let's stand and try this one last time, answering, yes, I believe, with the passion and clarity that our loving God deserves. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
Then please, if Jesus is your resurrection and your life, go out from this place this evening and in your everything, serve God in all that you do and share his message of love, salvation and life everlasting with the urgency that Jesus showed us in the last weeks of his life. Amen.